All right, live on Discovery Paranormal, coming at you. Halloween is coming up, of course, and all of us in the paranormal world, Halloween is our Christmas, you know what I mean? And if you understand anybody who is about anything paranormal, even the UFO stuff, man, because UFOs have kind of integrated into the pumpkins and the scary monsters and the zombies and, you know, all things scary, right? There's a lot of scary stuff out there. But Halloween season, I'm all for it. I love the fall, and fall's my favorite season. And it's all good. The food is good. The air is nice. The leaves are crisp and all kinds of good stuff happening. And it's also time for horror movies, man. So I have a ritual where I do at least one horror movie a day until Halloween, you know, which is kind of funny because I really don't watch all that much TV, you know, or movies in general. Sometimes, you know, it depends on what I'm set on. I kind of feel like when I'm sitting there watch TV, I could be doing something else. That's better. Anyway, but there's interesting shows. I'm not going to knock that. And, you know, I mean, there's people out there that go crazy for TV. You know, they got to have the biggest, most clearest TV. I mean, last TV I bought, this thing is like so clear. You can see all the pits in people's faces. And I'm like thinking, why don't I want to see this, you know? Like back in the day, they used to put Vaseline on lenses when they shot shows, you know. So if you look at like the Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family, when they do that extreme close-up on these women, you know, they're not going to show all the wrinkles in their face and all the makeup caked on, right? They're going to show like this nice, smooth, kind of fuzzy look. Martha Stewart, when she first got on, was like notorious for that, all fuzzed out. And it looks kind of euphoric, like like they're kind of in a cloud and like they're floating there. You know, whatever, man. People don't want to see an extreme close-up. And I'm a photographer also, and I have this conversation with other photographers all the time. Because every time like a new lens comes out or a new camera comes out, and I use Canon, you know, and I use a Canon full frame. And I'm happy, you know, with the camera that I have. I have a 5D Mark III. Great camera. It's a workhorse. It's, I mean, you know, I can't say anything bad about it. And they came out with a 5D Mark IV, and it shoots, you know, 4K video and all sort of stuff. And there's a whole bunch of issues with that. But it's like going out and buying a newer thing doesn't necessarily mean like it's a better thing. And you got to be settled where you are. And if you think about cameras people were using, you know, 20 years ago, especially for, you know, professional photographers, you can't even compare the technology with what you have now. But what do you need it for? You know, I mean, I have, you know, and there's big money in lenses. You know, your average lens costs $1,000, and there's big money. I mean, you could spend $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 on a lens very easily. You know, if you're like one of the big pros and you're out there and you need that type of thing, these guys make that kind of money. They can certainly flip for a lens like that, especially since it's part of their business, you know. But how clear is clear? You know what I mean? So I was talking about just the lens the other day, and, you know, it's supposed to be the clearest lens for portrait work and that type of thing. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's like, you know, I got the super, super sharp, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, do you think that especially anybody wants to see every little pit and dig in their face? You know, there's a balance to looking great on a camera and looking terrible on the camera. A big balance, as a matter of fact. And if you know how to shoot, you have to know how to shoot. And it's about the eye. So really it's the operator, the eye, balancing it out. And then also the camera having, you know, having a great camera, having a great lens and that type of thing. But how clear is clear? So, you know, so 4K, if you shoot in 4K, you need a 4K TV to watch 4K video. You can watch 4K video on a non-4K TV, but you're not going to get the essence of what a 4K really is and the clarity and the colors and all that nonsense, right? All that stuff that they pile on, saying it's bigger, it's better, it's badder, you got to have it. And then, okay, it looks fine. I've seen 4K and whatever. But how clear is clear? Already, the TV that I have, which is a giant smart TV, already this TV, like I said, shows all the pits in people's faces, and you know, it makes these huge movie productions look like somebody shot it with a crappy little like DV cam, you know, and then so because of the clarity, because of the way the way it comes across, it just makes things look cheesy. It makes things look like cheap, which is interesting. And yeah, I don't want to see the pits in people's faces. You know, they don't want to see the pits in my faces. They don't want to see the pits in their faces. Every little blemish. And I'll tell you, if you've ever dropped acid or taken mescaline and looked at yourself in the mirror, you'd understand that clarity can be quite scary. And the blemishes on people's faces that you really can't see normally will definitely show up. So anyway, Halloween's coming. And like I said, I'm watching these Halloween movies and checking the stuff out. And I just realized the movies that I like, I don't get scared by Halloween movies because it takes an awful lot to frighten me. You know, I get scared about real life stuff. You know, a movie, I'm not going to sit there and watch a movie and get flipped out. There are movies that can touch you in a way. There are movies that can trigger memories in your life or, you know, psychologically affect you in some ways, right? And, you know, I make a paranormal show, ghost hunting show, right? And I tell people straight up, like, and it's not fake, you know, like movies are fake. Basically, you're watching actors doing their thing, right? The paranormal show that I do is real. So it's like when you hear stuff, the stuff's happening, you see these images, whatever, it's real. It's not Hollywood, you know? It's not Netflix or Amazon, which is actually taking over Hollywood. Hollywood is becoming a thing of the past. But I'll tell you this. The movies that will stick with me, 13 Ghosts is a movie that stuck with me. And it was, you know, it wasn't full of supreme actors. They were okay. It was an interesting story. And I, you know, definitely watch it if you want to watch it. I mean, it's cool in that way. But it just stuck with me for some reason. And I think those are the movies that are cool, the ones that can kind of penetrate. You know, I watched Jacob's Ladder last night. And that movie sticking with me, it was cool. And I really don't like Tim Robbins at all, but like he's all right. You know what I mean? I don't dislike him. I don't like him. I don't dislike him. I think that I don't watch a lot of his movies because I don't watch those kinds of movies. Those are like, you know, movies that women watch because they like him. You know, and same for Brad Pitt. These people aren't really in my world because the movies that I watched, they're just not in. The only zombie movie Brad Pitt was ever in was that one. And it was crazy. It was horrible. And you get Brad Pitt running around trying to save the world. That was weird. But it wasn't a good fit for Brad Pitt. So, but I like the horror world. I like the thriller, you know, mystery, that type of thing. Only if it's a good mystery. I don't like the obvious ones. I want a mystery. I don't like the obvious ones, and I don't like the ones that really have no end or could have any end, and they just choose one. You know, real mystery type of thing. I like that. Comedies, love comedies. Drama, I have enough drama in my life. I do not need any more. I don't watch drama. So, but horror movies, especially this time of year. And then at some point before Halloween, I always have to watch, you know, it's a great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. You got Linus and Sally out there in the pumpkin patch waiting for the great pumpkin. He cheesed her out of chocolate. She got mad because she thought she was going to get a bigger reward hanging out in a pumpkin patch with this dude. That's dudes. You know what I mean? And that's chicks, too. When they don't get it, they're like, they're all mad. She all screaming at him. I could have had candy and chocolate and get sat with you. You know? Years later, she cries, me too. Me too. I was a victim of his masculinity in the pumpkin patch waiting for the great pumpkin who was male, who never showed up. I was disappointed beyond my belief. And that's why I said me too. Yeah, man. Great pumpkin. You know what? On Amazon, they want like $12.99 for that thing. You gotta be nuts. If you go and buy it, you can buy it on eBay for like $5 or $6, you know. But man, that's how they nail you. They charge you crazy amounts of money, especially when it's like Halloween time. And Halloween's like basically outselling Christmas. Halloween's becoming one of the biggest holidays. It's kind of funny. Those people so fixated on it. Most of my friends are Halloween people. Live for Halloween. In the middle of summer, people are talking about Halloween. At Christmas, people are talking about Halloween. Yeah, Halloween, right? People keep Halloween ornaments in their house all year long. You know, sometimes outside all year long. So that's just the way it goes, man. People love it because it's the only holiday. And it's not even technically a holiday. Like, you don't have off on Halloween, so to speak. But it's the only holiday where you can, like, just be whatever. You know, you don't, and there's no pressure. It's not like Thanksgiving. You know, it's got pressure. And yeah, like it's supposed to be you sit down and you eat with your family and friends. Maybe some people have that. I don't have that. I have just pressure. It's pressure. You know what I mean? You're thankful when it's over. That's a Thanksgiving. Thankful when it's over. And then Christmas is just more of a, you know, spend. You know what I mean? Like when I was a kid, probably my mom might spend, you know, $300 or $400 between my sister and I. Now, one damn thing is like $400 these kids want. You know what I mean? And then they got a list. They got this big tech list. $5,000 worth of stuff. You didn't get that. And then they just want to sit there and not even work around the house and just get stuff. Whatever happened to people, man? People. You do chores, you live your life. Anyway, we don't think about those people on Halloween. We think about, you know, laughing at those people on Halloween. So think about what you're going to be for Halloween. Think about where you're going to go. How to be safe. I mean, around here locally, there's about an hour from here in Big Flats, New York. There is Tags, Sylvania. Tags, which is like this fairground that's there. And then every year, I don't know how many years they've been doing it, for a little while, there's all kinds of people dressing up like actor type of thing. And there's different situations. There's a swamp you go through. It's all haunted. And there's a room that you go in, and yeah, you have to like work as a team to get out of that room. It's like really cool. There's a whole bunch of stuff, man. Great people are part of it. Great actors dressing up. It's like you're right in the middle of some kind of movie set for some kind of zombie thing or whatever. So that's something cool for people to do, you know? And I think that these events are growing. These events are getting bigger. I know that there's similar events like where I come from on Long Island in the city. You know, people are just laid back and having a good time for Halloween. So, but Jacob's Ladder, that movie is crazy, man. And Tim Robbins, he's like this dude in Vietnam, and he gets injured. And the whole movie is like, you know, him and his kind of freak out. He's having these episodes of, you know, of just psychosis, I guess. And then it's a weird, I'm not going to tell you the ending. It's a weird twist and turn, and the ending is crazy. So you're like, whoa. So I would say watch that movie, man, because it was freaky. And then I watched The Burbs. That was cool. Tom Hanks. And it's a movie that frightened my son. It was it's a comedy, but it's kind of a horror movie. And I think he saw it when he's like a 10, somewhere around there. And there's one scene where they open the trunk of a car and there's all these skulls in there, you know? And then I guess that's the scene that he got fixated on. So between like midnight and 1 o'clock for the next, you know, 3 months or whatever, I didn't wake up. The skulls, the skulls. So I'm like, what's the matter? What's going on? He's like, the skulls, the skulls. I'm like, what skulls? The skulls in the trunk of the car. I'm like, oh, man. You like the burps? That would. And I'm like, you know how lucky you are? He's like looking at me saying, you know how lucky you are? You know how lucky you are you can be scared and something like that? Oh, man. That's innocence right there. You know how beautiful that is to be afraid of something like that? I love it, man. Love it. That's why I love horror, and it's a, I don't know, thrillers. It's a thing, man. So another thing that freaked him out, too, is this on Animal Planet. There was a show on Animal Planet where they're talking about, like, going down to the sewers and how these people saw this lizard man. Like, there's a lizard man, that, like, half man, half lizard. If you talk to UFO people, they're going to say that there's lizard people, and they have a whole list of lizard-esque things, drawings, people. So it's a whole thing. But this was, like, specifically a lizard man who lived in a sewer who attacked some camera crew, and that was in his show. And it's for little kids, you know, and, like, it was on the afternoon, and he saw that, like, bugged out on the lizard man, you know, because the lizard, all he saw was, like, the shadow of the lizard man. It was going, like, and then, like, you saw the camera crew, like, all shaking, and then blood splattered. Yeah, you know, the stuff they put on for kids in the afternoon. So, again, some reason between 12 and 1 was the time to wake up and start crying about this. He's like, I'm like, what's the matter? He's like, the lizard man's going to get me. I'm like, there's no lizard man. Jeez, man. I'm like, there's not even any sewers around here. You don't have to worry. Yeah, don't worry about it. Go to sleep. It'll be all right. And then, like, 3 minutes later, I scrape on his door with my nails and be like, oh, the good old days. I'll have you know he's 16 years old now and well-adjusted and he's a straight-A student. So all that stuff is good. It loosened him up in the world, man. And he doesn't get afraid for like stupid things, you know. When you go to a movie, it's just a movie. You know, check it out and have a good time. It's not real. You know what I mean? My show is real. I know every time he used to hear the music when I was editing my show, he'd like start crying because he knew exactly what that meant. So it's not easy living with a paranormal investigator, I guess. You're a little kid, you know, and you try to introduce him to that world, but not too much, you know, because it's kind of, it can be a heavy world, right? Some kids take to it, man. I know people have their kids, like, they love it. They love every minute of it. But there's a seat for every ass, and sometimes your ass doesn't fit in that seat. And I get that, you know? So, but with Halloween, last year was heavy. I didn't celebrate Halloween. This year, I'm all for it. And then I also want to talk about making contact with people, you know? A lot of people have been talking to me about that recently, you know what I mean? Just reaching out to me, like, a lot. And I don't know, it's not any particular time of year. I just think that people are understanding more about the paranormal world, and then they do have contact, you know, or they do feel that contact. And it depends on where your head is at, if you're open to it, if you're receptive, right? So I was talking to my mom earlier, right? And she was talking about one of her friends that she worked with on Long Island back in the day. So she said for some reason she's just standing out in her mind really big, you know, like calling to her. And then in our world, we tend to say that that's contact, that if not just having a random thought about somebody, but really thinking about them. And there's people that you can really think about that all of a sudden they'll call you, you know, or you'll call them and they'll say, man, I was just thinking about you, right? Psychic connections, right? So she's talking about this woman, and, you know, I was in front of my computer. I'm a PI. So just unbeknownst to her, I started looking up the name. I got her address and all this stuff, and she's like, you know, I wonder what happened to her. And she said she tried to look for her because she's, like, thinking about her a lot. And it would be a thing where if they think about each other, they had a thing going on for years that they think, like, they thought heavily about each other, they'd call. One of them would call, that kind of thing. So I looked up, and, she, you know, she passed away 2 years ago. And she had a daughter that was a handful, big problem. She passed away several years ago. The daughter had a son. He passed away. And this woman was married to, he passed away. So they were kind of all, they're all together. I said, Mom, look at it this way. They're all together, you know? And, you know, Mom was a little shaken by it, like, wow, you know, your contemporaries, you know, she's 78, so your contemporaries pass away or whatever, people you haven't spoken to in a while, and you find out that they're gone. It's heavy, man. And, you know, but I said, trying to contact you. She's got something that either she wants to tell you or something. You know, I said, you know, usually when the contact happens like that, it could be like by an anniversary, something, a birthday, a holiday, something like that. And a lot of people, you know, and I'll say it to a lot of people, like, hey, is it an anniversary or something like that? And they'll be like, nope. And then, like, you know, the next day they're like, oh, I was thinking it was an anniversary. Yeah. And then that's it. But if they're reaching out to you, it's good for you to reach back to them. Ah, how you do that. And I have people contact me all the time. Like, you know, they know that we're paranormal investigators and we use all kinds of equipment to, you know, to try to establish intelligent contact. There's no science necessarily that says that equipment's going to work for you. It's something that you hope that these spiritual bodies, spirits, can manipulate in some way and talk to you and can maybe react in a certain way. And then that's really what it is, in trying to get your yes and no answers or having a conversation. And we have recorders that we record EVPs. And, you know, when you really listen, you can hear full sentences, man. You can hear stuff. Like, sometimes, you know, like, we got responses to every question, you know, and it's faint, but it's there. So when someone's trying to contact you, you're thinking of them like that. To me, the best way, honestly, if you are spiritual and you meditate, then you already know that you can go into a meditative state of mind and then have that contact. But if you're not, and you feel the strong thing, and that person's passed, you know, you feel that bond, it's good if you have something of theirs, some kind of affect that you can, like, kind of go to sleep with, have it with you. Or if you don't, you just, when you go to sleep, you think of them, you kind of call out to them in your mind. You don't do it like, hey, Tony, I'm here, you know, like, you do it like, you do it in your mind's eye. You think of that person, or you think of instances that you and that person had, like, exchanges that were positive and loving and kind and that type of thing. And when you do that, you're opening the door. You're opening the door. And then if they're going to come to you, you know, it's not like they're on a train and it takes a while to get to you. No, you talk about something that's basically instantaneous. And because they're right there. You know what I mean? When I say that, like, they're right there. You know, people tend to put things in terms of distance because of our world and how we live and, you know, the timeline that we all share and our individual timelines and all that type of stuff. But imagine there was no time and everything was accessible right there in front of you, you know, and it's only a matter of thought or choice that brings you there. It's kind of like that, right? So, you know, you go to sleep, you have those nice memories, like, before you go to sleep. And then it's likely that they will contact you and give you a message. You may remember it, you may not remember it. It's a thing, you know. It's kind of a world that we're not supposed to invade, you know what I mean? And vice versa. But I think that they send messages, or even messages of, like, hope. You know, my mom survived cancer. You know, last year she was diagnosed, and it was terrible. I didn't know what was going to happen. There was a lot of not knowing. And all the mediums I knew, psychics said everything was going to be good. It makes you feel a little better. And I knew things were going to be good for her in my heart. Made me feel a little better, but there's still the process. And there's a lot of stuff in that process. You know, having operations and chemotherapy and all of this stuff that she has to go through. It's rough, man. And then you see, you know, I'm an empath, and then when I go, like, went to chemo suite, well, so many people there getting chemotherapy, you just feel it. It's, like, so heavy, you know? And some of them, you just know that they're not going to be there. Like, that's their last dance, you know? And then those nurses there are like angels. They have so much compassion, and they're so amazing, you know? This was Cayuga Medical Center in Ithaca, New York. I think that they're just amazing. Very impressed by the level of care that those people put forth. Not the place, the people, you know what I mean? So hospitals are hospitals are hospitals. It's the people that work there that make it up, you know? So anyway, through life, you know, through life we have these things, man. And that's energy, right? And then as you encounter people or situations, you get a feel for things. You get a feel for people. You get a feel for energy, you know. I mean, I could walk into a house and I could tell you if there's activity there or not. Even if they're hiding out, even if they're in a basement, in a corner, and they don't want people to mess with. Because, you know, who knows why these people hang around still. It could be any reason. And it's really individuality. It, you know, like Peter Canellis, we do these investigations. We got all kinds of answers of why people are hanging around. And I think that there's a limit to how long people can hang around, you know. But I don't know. People are always reaching out to me saying, how do I make contact? And like I said, that's a good way. As for using devices and all that, you know, they want to use, you know, try to record some EVPs, electronic voice phenomenon, you know, disembodied voices, that type of thing. You could do that. It's more the point to what do you want out of it, you know? You just want to see Aunt Sally again and say, hey, I love you. I mean, you could do that at any time. So it's more about reaching out, but not doing it in a way where it's going to drain you or they. Because, you know, I have a friend, he passed away, he's married, and I talked to his wife, ex-wife, widow, but she's a couple years ago, man, it was sudden, the guy was only 51, you know, a dude I knew from back in the mid-80s, just like that. I mean, it was sudden, and she just can't let it go, and is calling out to him all the time. And I even had her on the show once last year to talk about closure and trying to help just ease her into that direction of you got to move on, you know. It doesn't mean you got to go out, get married again or something like that. It means you got to let go. If you don't let go, then it could mess things up for that person, you know, and there could be some confusion there on their part and not go through the transition that they need to go through. You know, they all need to go through a transition, you know. So then, you know, there's earthbound entities that we talk about, and they're the ones who hadn't gone through that transition, and they're here. They're here for whatever reason, and it's usually very heavy, very negative, and bad whenever they're around. That's why we told people don't mess with Ouija boards, and that type of thing, because they can open the door that you don't want. And it's not, you know, it's not the Ouija board. It's not the, you know, cardboard it's made out of or whatever. It's the people. It's the energy, you know. It's not holy water that protects you. It's the energy. It's not sage or burning that protects you. It's the energy. So what you put into it is what you get out of it. You have way more power inside of you than you even realize. And that power can reach out to people, and not just here, but anywhere. And when you talk to God through you, through yourself, your inner self. You don't need anybody else. You need some preacher. You know, maybe if you want to go to a preacher, and then they're good at their job, they're going to give you some words of encouragement, some kind of revival, make you feel good. You dance, you sing. I'm all for that because it's positive. It's good. You start preaching to people about their lives. Who needs that? You know? Anybody need that? I mean, like, who the hell knows your life? You know, and how can people judge you? I mean, really. It's not supposed to be about that, right? So, but we know all these things. Getting back to making that contact, I would definitely say, if anybody, you know, feels the need to reach out, you know, you need to think about those few simple things. And then, like I said, think about the good moments. Think about the fun times. You know, a great time to reach out is around the holidays, because spirits love coming by to visit, man. You know, they want to come by for Christmas or Hanukkah or you know, Ramadan or whatever you got going on. And then they're going to be around. You think about the great moments, think about the fun moments. And, you know, back in the day, we all have good memories, I like to think anyway, you know, and all, you know, focus, we all got bad memories too, but focus on the good. Don't focus on the bad. Focus on the good. Focus on that positive energy. You drive out those negative forces, you know. Lao Tzu used to say negativity is like walking around with a dead, decaying rat. And that rat is going to smell, it's going to be nasty, and no matter where you go, what you encounter, if you want to bend down and smell some beautiful flowers, you're only going to be able to smell the rat. The rat's going to dominate your life. That's the only thing you're going to know is to smell that dead rat. And that rat is negativity. Get rid of it. Throw it out. Bury it. Be done with it, you know, and move on. So, but people told me I should, like, make a list of all the Halloween movies. I'm not going to do that. Like, Halloween movies that I'm watching, I'm posting them on Facebook. So I'm putting a thing like my current situation, and I'm throwing up whatever movie I'm watching, and then at least one per day. Tonight, I don't know what I'm going to watch yet. And that's the thing, too. I'm fickle, man. I never know what the hell I want to eat from one day to the other. I never know what I'm going to watch what movie. So there's no planning for me. I can't sit there and plan something like that. I have to be like in the move, like in that movie moment. And the horror movies don't necessarily have to be horror. I mean, there's comedy horror, like Scary Movie. You know, Scary Movie 1, Scary Movie 2, Scary Movie 3. There's a whole bunch of them. They're all very funny. They're parody, you know, movies, and that they kind of parody other horror movies. And then a lot of times I didn't see the other horror movies. Like, also, like, I don't watch ghost horror movies, like the paranormal ones. And I think that's, you know, I'm a paranormal investigator, and I think they're kind of silly, you know what I mean, or maybe a waste of time watching it. I like to watch, like, real horror movies, you know, but and ones that are very well done. Even movies like Halloween, the first one, man, classic, you know, or Friday the 13th, classic. And I know there's like dozens of them now. They come out with one every couple of years. That's cool. I'm not really into that. I don't get into the whole, you know, series of them. But even you know, Harry Potter could be cool, man. Like the first one, anyway. The first one, the second one, the third one got a little weird. The third one, I think the fourth one was all right. But then it got really like, you know, it got to the point where I didn't want to see them anymore. And Harry Potter. I never read any books. That was Harry Potter people. I never saw a movie, Lord of the Rings. People are like, you should go see that movie. Whatever people say, you should see this movie, don't. Because if it's out there and I wanted to see it, I'd see it. Like, well, you know, like my friend was like, you know, Jacob's Ladder, you got to check it out, man. You know, like, you know, he's like, I know you don't like Tim Robbins, but he did that movie. I'm like, sorry, I don't like him. I don't like him. He's neutral, I guess. And I watched it. It was a good movie, whatever. It was all right. It was cool. It was a mind screw. And I think that's all right about it, you know. But, like, people tell me I should watch Fight Club. You know, like, well, I know you don't like Brad Pitt, but you should watch Fight Club, you know. Nah. I'm not into fighting, as a matter of fact, you know. I'm like people think that I'm into martial arts, I'm into fighting. It's that one thing has nothing to do with the other, really, you know. And it's more about moving energy and respect, that type of thing. So as for, like, Fight Club and people beating on each other, MMA stuff, whatever, that too, I don't watch any of that stuff, man. And Brad Pitt, I just don't like him. Just don't like him. Even in the zombie movie, it was like, it's ridiculous. And he didn't even belong in there. The hell are you doing? Get all, like, indignant. So, but I reserved some cool horror movies on Netflix. I don't know what's going on with Netflix either. They got a lot of Bollywood. They're floating their content like they have all these movies, but a lot of it's like Bollywood, and I don't care about Bollywood. I don't want to see Bollywood. I don't care about Bollywood movies. And that's it. That makes sense to you. But Amazon is kicking ass. Amazon Prime. And with Amazon Prime, you can actually rent movies too. So that's kind of cool. It gives you more movies in reach if you're not afraid to spend a few bucks. They can get crazy. But I reserve some cool movies that are horror movies. And then I was thinking about the House of 1,000 Corpses for tonight. Rob Zombie, an amazing, amazing movie. His beautiful wife is in that movie. Oh, my God. She's just like, hoo-hee, ha-ha-ha. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I'm having fantasies right now. Rob Zombie's beautiful, beautiful wife. And she's so cool in that movie. It's such a psychopath. It's crazy women are attracted to me. So I think that, or vice versa. I don't know. Maybe it's vice versa. I like her role in that movie. But if you've never seen House of 1,000 Corpses, watch the movie. And you know what? It's more about, it's not one of those gotcha movies. Like, you know, horror movies, you could have that, you know, that thing jump out at you, or there's like this thing standing behind you and whatever. Like, House of 1,000 Corpses is more like, there's some screwed up people out there, and this is a movie about them, you know? Really. And it's more about the shock value than the gotcha moment. But Rob Zombie, I know Rob Zombie. I know him from back in the day. And when he had a band called White Zombie and all that, and I was in the club business, so he'd come through frequently. Very, very cool guy. Actually pretty low-key, but amazing that, you know, he does a great job with these movies, and he's made a lot of them. In fact, I reserved Halloween, his remake, which I haven't even seen yet, so maybe I'll watch that tonight. But there's also a sequel to House of 1,000 Corpses called The Devil's Rejects, right? Man, great movies, you know. But either or, I think that for Halloween, you got to have fun. You got to plan it out and see what you're going to do. Call your friends. There's Halloween parties. I guess depending where you are. I don't know what I'm doing for Halloween yet, me personally. And I know a lot of you guys are reaching out to me on Facebook and all that, and you should, because you should tell me what's going on. Send me your cool Halloween photos, too, and what you're thinking is. And I like to cook. I'm into it. So I like to bake sometimes, and baking I find is meditative for me. It's also nice because You're not just meditating because you get something good to eat at the end. So Halloween recipes, I just put them up there. I just made my wickedly hot sauce, man. I use habaneros and I fire roast them. And then just everything comes out. You know, everything's natural. Everything's good. Everything comes out great. So I just did that a couple days ago. So that's my thing, man. This time of year, decorating the house, buying pumpkins. You know, it's harvest season, man. I just bought a half bushel of apples and then made stuff for that. So I wanted to know what you like in fall, no matter where you are. Because I know, like, in England, you guys don't celebrate Halloween as much. You celebrate, like, I was talking to my friend, and she's like, well, you know, carve pumpkins and whatever. And they don't really go to people's houses because they're afraid of getting poisoned or whatever, man. You know, and I think that's true in a lot of places. I mean, here in the U.S. is vast. England, small. U.S., huge. You know, over 330 million people in the U.S. And there's a lot of people who like to party, man. A lot of partiers in there. So in my neighborhood where I am, it's a family neighborhood, basically. And we used to get a ton of trick-or-treaters, man, a ton of them back in the day. You know, it wouldn't be weird to get 200 in a night. So then last year, I think that didn't give out more than 50 or 60 candy bars, you know, to people. So, and I do the full size, but then like there's this rich area down the street from me, and then they're like on the lake. So they give out the king size. And then there are big houses, but they're close together. Where I am, there's an acre and a half zoning, so the houses are not really close together at all, and the driveways are long, so the kids have to do a lot of work to go down the dark street, to go down the driveway. And I decorate the house, put cool lights up, stuff like that. I even take pumpkin incense, and I kind of dot them here and dot them there around the property. So when you're walking down the driveway, or you're near it, you start getting that nice whiff of pumpkin incense, you know? I just think it's kind of a nice Halloween touch. You know, it's all about the memories, especially for the little ones. The little kids come up. And because of these little kids, I stopped putting out the big, nasty horror decorations. It was scary, you know? And then you got to consider that for the little ones. And then, you know, it's one thing to scare people, you know, when they're a little older. But I'm talking about some of these kids are small, man. And then the neighborhood had gone from old to young. So all the old people who kind of were living here all these years and whatever either died off or went to nursing homes or they're gone. And the younger people came in with the big families, you know, or making a family. So it's cute, man. It's endearing to me, actually, to see the little costumes and whatever. It's more fun hanging out, I think, passing the candy out, you know, and, you know, I'm pretty scary as it is. I'm 6'5", we're all black. I'm a big dude. I feel like a football player. So when I answer the door, and my door's got like a 6-inch rise. So when I answer the door, I'm like 7 feet tall, you know. And then here's this giant, you know, ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 little children. Bah. So, but it's a lot of fun. It's a fun night. And then after the, you know, they're done trick-or-treating by 10. You know, really 9 o'clock, they're pretty much done. And then you go out and have a good time, man. There's all kinds of things going on. So have fun. Have fun on Halloween. I know that we're weeks away, and I'm talking about it now. But it's about making the plan, thinking about what you're going to do, get your friends together. If you got kids, say, hey, kids, what do you want to do for Halloween? What's going on? And you know what? And a lot of people are organizing parties for Halloween. And that's been going on for years. You know, we had neighborhood parties and that type of thing. So you go out trick-or-treating. All the kids return to the one house. And then everybody kind of, like, goes over their candy and what they got. And they have a party. There's cool music and there's stuff to do there. That's all about the memory. That's all about remembering back in the day, you know, or being a little spooked on Halloween and cold and windy or whatever it is. Being a little spooked, man. I love that, and I love to provide that because, you know, life is short. There can be anyway. Even if you live to 80, it's a quick ride, you know? And I think that there's little slivers of time and moments that stand out most of all to us and mean a lot to us, mean a lot more to us than a lot of the bigger moments, the stuff that kind of just pops up from our memories and little things, you know? So I think that if you make things special for people, they're going to remember that, and they're going to want to make things special for other people when they get older, maybe, right? And that's the only thing we can really hope for. And that's how you create decent people. You know, last show I was talking about what your purpose is, your purpose, you know, and being a decent person. What about just being a decent person? Decency. That's the deal. Common decency. What makes a human decent? You ask yourself that question and think about, you know, what you represent in the world and what other people do too, you know, and what makes them decent, right? Or the people that you respect most from your life, from your childhood, or whatever. I think that we can make the world a better place if we truly are the people that we think we are, right? So I'm going to end the show on that note. But if you're going to make contact with people, just like I said, you know, you sit back, you meditate about it, you think about that person. It's like you're calling them, you know. It's like you think about them like you're calling them. You're calling out to them. Maybe they'll come around. Maybe they won't. If you're thinking about them already, like in my mom's case, thinking about her friend, and she thought she was alive. So, you know, when she said her name, I already knew she was dead. Like, I just felt it, you know. And I was like, And that's why I looked her up. And then, you know, it's hard, man, I think. And she said, well, maybe she has some message in that. I said, well, if she has a message, you should, like, meditate on it. You think about that. Be receptive to it. You know, instead of letting your mind wander, you're more, like, just are open and neutral, like an open door. And you want them to give you that message and come through, right? Whatever that message is, right? So, anyway, I'm going to end the show. This is Michael Engley on Discovery Paranormal. And we are safely in the month of October. Prayers going out for anybody in the path of that hurricane down in Apalachicola. You know what? I'm going to move down there, man. I'm going to move to Apalachicola because I like saying the word Apalachicola. It's just a cool goddamn thing to say. Where are you from? Apalachicola. You know what I mean? Like, you know, where are you from? Ithaca. It sounds like you got something stuck in your throat. I like Apalachicola. Hey, man, where you from? Apalachicola, baby. It's got the word cola in it. I'm there. I hear it's a nice little rural type of area. It's not too touristy. But the problem is with the hurricanes, Hurricane Michael, of course, the problem with a hurricane like that is that it had just kind of formed and gotten so huge and so powerful in a very short amount of time. Now it's a Category 3. They say it may be a 4 by the time it reaches land tonight. And all the water is being pushed up, this Gulf water, pushed up onto the land. It's got nowhere to go because it's the Gulf, you know. Like when you have an Atlantic hurricane headed at you, you have a storm surge, and it can be pretty big. But still, the offflow can go right. It could go left, you know, it's the Atlantic Ocean. But and also the colder waters in the Atlantic Ocean. The Gulf is hot water, and you just have nowhere for that water to go. So they're expecting really big storm surges, and a lot of people have gotten out, and I hope they got their pets out, and that's like the worst part. You see these poor little pets left behind, and people are evil sometimes doing that, man, because you can just take your damn pet. Take your pets. I mean, most shelters allow pets now, so take your pet. There's no excuse not to, right? Or if you can't, you're some kind of invalid or some kind of ugly person, you can't handle it, you know, tell somebody, contact somebody, you know, have them help you, right? Because there's plenty of people there to help. And, you know, the best people are the ones who go out collecting these pets afterwards and finding these poor cats, dogs, whatever, stuck. And then those people are also angels, man, and then they're out there. So this is Michael Engley on Discovery Paranormal. I will see you guys next week on this here show. Goodbye, y'all.